Hallelujah.
Righteousness is a key component, is a target of this whole preparation. When you're talking about the mission and the vision of this ministry, the vision that brought it into being, and you're saying that that vision is centered around, because the vision is preparing the way, but centered around repentance, you cannot fail to mention that it goes with righteousness. So righteousness is a key component, is a target of this whole preparation. So this always needs to come out very clear to all people, the new people who have just come into the ministry, or people who have, you know, been there but did not understand the ways of the ministry yet. So that always has to come out clearly. Now, having said that, once you all in the leadership, because the worst thing would be for you to be in the leadership and you don't know the vision and mission of this ministry. You see that? The worst thing would be that one. That you're in the ministry and you don't know the mission of the ministry. What the Holy Spirit is planning to achieve here. And that's why this is something that should be, you know, even in your sleep you can recite, you know. And the more you recite it, you get to know about it. Now comes the next part. As the leadership in this ministry, you automatically bear the image of the ministry. You see that. In other words, you bear the image of the ministry. In other words, you can easily talk for the ministry. In other words, you can speak for the ministry. Which means, in the absence of the pastor, is there any leadership here, any leader in this ministry, in this church? In the absence of the pastor, you can step in and speak for the pastor. How can I help you? Yes, in fact, I'm part of the leadership here. How can I help you? I just wanted you to help us. We have guests who have arrived here. They are visiting our church. They're from Canada. And I was telling them about your ministry, no? This ministry of the prophet. And I said, they are the church here. They got so much interest in me. Come to see, you see that. And so, can you please tell us what this ministry is all about? You know, the pastor is not there. You can step in and give the complete picture. You say, the vision and mission here is that the Messiah is coming and there is need to prepare the church, to prepare a glorious bride for the Messiah. And the way to achieve that, the Holy Spirit has revealed, is none other than repentance and the return to holiness. And so, as we prepare the church in this ministry, now I'm imagining you're not talking to the guests, you know that. As we prepare for the coming of the Messiah, prepare the church, prepare the nation, we are centered around the central theme of repentance. You see that? Which, for us in this ministry, is not repentance per se, but is repentance that defines the turning away from sin. You see that? In other words, repentance that bears fruit. By getting involved into the leadership of this ministry, the first thing that happens to you is that you must know the mission and the vision of the ministry. It would be a very big mistake for you to be in the ministry, let alone leadership, and now much more even leadership, and not know the vision and mission of this ministry. Then you'd be actually a lost sheep. You see that? Because you're not aware of where you are. And I said, the vision and mission of this ministry is centered around the central theme, the core theme of repentance, which, by definition of this ministry, means the turning away from sin. And that, to me, definitely just describes repentance that bears the fruit of repentance. You see that? And that
Because time is out, the Lord raised forth this ministry to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And the only way to prepare for the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, is by repentance, which means to keep sin away. Only sin can be an impediment to the coming of the Lord. You see that? Again, let me put it better. Only sin can launch a blockade or can be a stumbling block for the church to access the coming of the Lord, the kingdom of God, or for the Lord to access the church by having the highway, the way of the Lord, pass through the church. Only sin can be that roadblock. And that's why the central theme in this ministry is that the church may be established on the bedrock of repentance. Not the repentance you hear people repent and recycle to sin day after day after day after day, moment after moment after moment after moment, year in and out. We are talking about a repentance with enlightenment. A repentance that says, I know I have sinned. I know what this sin is. And I have been convicted that this is sin. So, I am now turning away from this sin. By repenting and turning away from it. Which means going back in the exact opposite direction. That is the repentance that bears fruit. That indeed is the fruit of repentance. That now your ways have changed. You see? And still under the vision and mission of this ministry, as part of the leadership in this ministry, you must be aware of the vision and mission of this ministry. And still there I said, by establishing repentance as the bedrock, the foundation upon which the church sits, in order to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Then by all standards, the Lord has launched for this very mighty ministry for the purposes of getting rid of sin from the church. And that means there has been sin in the church. Hapo awali. Way back there has been sin in the church, right? Let me put it even better. By being part of the leadership of this ministry and being very much aware of the mission and vision of this ministry, the preparing of the way for the coming of the Messiah, the setting up of a foundation, an altar, launching it on the altar, the foundation of repentance. Now, that repentance I'm sharing that you must be aware of as a leader in this ministry, the repentance that bears fruit, that repentance that bears fruit essentially denotes the establishing of righteousness in the church. You see that now? So the final product is righteousness in the church. Righteousness in the sainthood. Righteousness in the sanctuary, in the congregation. Righteousness in the priesthood. You see that? So I said, that is the first most important obligation, benchmark of the Lord for you to be in the leadership of this ministry. You can see for yourself that by being in the leadership of this church, you again by default are right at the center of the leadership of the ministry of repentance and holiness, the mother ministry. You see that? But to take it one notch higher, you also see, having been chosen of the Lord, be part of the leadership of this church, again, you now become not only the image of that church, but you are now the image of the entire ministry of repentance and holiness. And to make matters worse, you become the image of the prophet of the Lord. Because people will say, oh, nyinyi ndio watu wa toba. You see that? Because now it is renowned. Oh, you are the people of repentance. You are the people of the prophet. Because the prophet we know. You see that? So, the benchmarks that were set by the prophet of the Lord, that they know, will apply to you. You see that? The standards. They say, oh, the prophet we know. We follow your message. So it means the Holy Spirit has passed on the message. So this is not a small thing. When you're a member of an altar in this ministry, or you're a member of a church, it does not end there. It's a much bigger picture. Now you can see for yourselves. The picture is bigger. And for those pastors who have not set up leadership team, there's a lot of writing they're doing right now. I suppose. Because I know that I may never repeat this. So, if they already know the message of the prophet, and you are saying, nyinyi ndio watu wa toba, you are the people of repentance. That's how they put it in this society here, in this country. Oh, nyinyi ndio watu wa nabii, you are the people of the prophet. Now listen to this. The truth is, they are not foolish to say so. You see that? They are not saying anything blasphemy. They are saying what is right. You know why? Because they know that the prophet belongs to the Lord. The prophet bears the image of the Lord. So if you are the people of the prophet, then you are the people of the Lord. You see that? So they're right. They know what they're saying. So which means the standards of the prophet, meaning the standards of the Holy Spirit, the standards of the Lord now apply to you. So you cannot be found in a very compromising place at all. You will not be found there. And now, by virtue of that, you cannot be found because now society is watching you. You have declared your stand. You see that? Rather not declare your stand then. At work, if you're a teacher, at school, if you're a housewife, at home, they will now be watching. You see that? And those standards apply in the morning, they apply at noon. They also apply in the afternoon. When evening comes, you'll be surprised and shocked that the same standards still apply. When night falls, you'll be totally knocked out of your mind to realize that those standards still apply. Whether it's at the bus stop, lining up waiting for matatu, at the courtroom, in the corridors of justice, the courts, at the shop, you are trying to buy some vinzari, and there's a lining going on there, someone's being served, whatever, you'll be shocked that those standards still apply. You're driving, those standards will still apply. Did you understand me now? And that's why I said, in being part of the leadership of this church, you are by default already part of the ministry, the leadership of the ministry of repentance and holiness. You see that? They know the Lord has raised forth a righteous prophet. It's obvious now globally. The prophet of righteousness. And especially that there was not righteousness at all, so it has spread out so big. You see that? So you cannot bring down that standard. You see that? So you must be, first of all, aware of the mission and the vision of the ministry. Number two, I said, you then become the image of that Vision and mission, anyway. You become the image of the ministry. In other words, people expect you to measure up righteousness if you're going to preach it. And you cannot say, you know what, you guys, I'm just part of a leadership. No, I didn't mean that. I'm just part of a smaller church. I didn't mean it in that big way, the way you brought it up. You cannot say that. You cannot get away with it. You see that? I said you become the image. What does it mean to become the image of the leadership of this ministry, this humongous global ministry that is restoring righteousness? This is what it means. It means that vision and mission of this ministry of the Lord that you so well recited. If a guest came, you recited so well, you spoke about it so well to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Time is over. And to establish repentance in the church, hence to yield forth, to jail out righteousness in the church, which means to glorify the church. You see that? To glorify the church. That vision and mission that you have so well recited, now, because you are the image of this leadership in this ministry, that image implies that you have to inculcate, incorporate into your life that mission and vision. You see that now. Now you have to incorporate that into your life. So there's not even a way in which you can say, oh, you see, for me, I'm not even preaching the word. I'm just support leadership. The standard is the same. The benchmark of the Lord applies across. So that's very key. To make sure that what you preach is what you live. Or what you preach is what you look. Otherwise, then this becomes a big falsehood. And we know that we have no time for falsehood, right? Hallelujah. And so, I thought those were two very important keys that you need to know, standards of the Lord, in order to be part of the ministry leadership. However, there is another one also. When the Lord launched the ministry, when he launches such a humongous, massive ministry, is it only meant for a few to eat it and feel good and establish well and be comfortable and sit there, begin gazing and waiting for him? Definitely not that. So the third one is that in as much as you are aware of the message of this ministry, and in as much as you incorporate into you the message and the vision and mission of this ministry, you must have the capacity to propel it forth. You see that? That means when you are involved in the leadership of this ministry, you cannot say, now look, only the senior pastor is entrusted with preaching that word. You must also, over time, ensure that you can preach this message. Such that when you meet somebody or a group of people at the bus stop, you can still do exploit for the Lord. You can still preach to them about this message. You don't have to say, I will invite you to meet my pastor so she will preach to you the message. You see that now. I'm saying that you are co-workers now in as far as propagating this message is concerned. You see that now. What does that mean in the bigger picture of the leadership of the ministry? It means that the leadership of this ministry, of this church, is a living leadership, alive, not dead in any way, form, or shape. Living in the sense that for as long as you join the leadership of this church, this ministry, then this ministry is so dynamic that it will grow you. In other words, equip you. This ministry now equips leaders that they too may go out and do exploits for the Lord. Especially when time is over like this. Right? Did you understand now? The third part, to preach the message. To propagate the message. And that almost invariably, without a doubt, implies that if you are going to be any part of this ministry of righteousness, then there are some don't do's. There are some things you cannot do. You see that now? There's a whole list of the can't do's, can never do's. You see that? For example, you can never ever be caught in sexual sin. Never ever can you be caught in a most compromising place called sexual sin. Again, let me repeat that. You can never compromise yourself at one place or the other. It's a one-way traffic. When you come into the leadership of this ministry, all traffic is heading this way. You cannot say, let me stop, I want to go back. They'll hit you because they're heading this way. There's no turning. The Lord did not account for a place to turn, to go back. It is not there. Every lane is occupied. You are also in your lane. But if you check very carefully, you're not alone. Every lane has another vehicle behind it. And behind that another, they're all headed that way. So you cannot say, oh, I want to turn. It's impossible. That's another point. Number four. To be part of the leadership of this ministry is a one-way traffic. We are headed into the kingdom of God Almighty. One direction. We are headed into the kingdom of God Almighty. In other words, to be part of the leadership of this massive ministry of righteousness, there is no backsliding. Did you understand me well? Are we understanding each other well? I'm just setting up for you the benchmarks of the Lord, the standards of the Lord, set by the Lord. If you thought I'll come in there, then I'll backslide, what? Then don't come in. Did you understand it now? The Lord is saying, don't come in, because we don't have room for you. If you are coming with the intent to enter there and backslide, don't come, please. Not here. You don't make it here. And that's very key in this ministry. That's why I said, you'll be held by the same standards as they hold the prophet of the Lord right now. You see that? So you cannot be found, you know, thinking I'm now alone. Let me make a phone call. I'm chatting with a friend in the night, not even day, dark now. Nobody can come to my house and knock hear me, whatever. You are now making a phone call in the night, and you know that this phone call is immoral, and there are some coarse jokes involved, or not, but it's immoral. Now you are alone in the night in your room in your house. In this ministry, who is it that institutes the standards of God in this ministry? Because they ask you, hey, nasikia nyinyi ndio watu wa toba. Hiyo ujumbe nimesikia, niambie kuhusu hiyo ujumbe. Nimeitamani sana hiyo ujumbe, lakini sijapata tu kanisa pale inafunzwa. Sijui siku moja nabii atakuja kwa upande huu. You see that? So now, when they say so, who is it, do you think, that holds the standard to this ministry? Because the Bible says that the heathen are watching the church. The heathen are watching the church. Who is it that institutes the standards? The Holy Spirit is the one that sustains and upholds, having established it, the standards of the Lord in this ministry. How does he do so? By disseminating the standards of this ministry to the world. Say, hey, look, For that ministry, the standard is like that, as high as that wall. So they know. So you cannot act any less. You see that? You cannot be caught up in falsehood and so forth. You see what I'm saying? So, it is very key and central that you understand these very most significant pieces of the cornerstone of this ministry. And when you start as the leadership of this ministry, when you start the first foot on the right footing, very much aware, then you cannot go wrong. Because you know what is expected of you. You see that? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there are several things I want to share about, and I'm hoping time will allow me to get into each and one of the ministries you're holding for the Lord now. But I would like to read a little bit also from Scripture as we enhance this. The other thing about leadership in this ministry is that you cannot get involved in any form of falsehood. Lies, deception, name it, you cannot be found there. Why would I say so? Because by establishing this ministry as the ministry that came to restore the church, which means turn things around, how then can you yourselves be slaves of that same depravity? You see that? Then it will be ironical. You will cause the nations to dismiss the message. You see that? So you can never be caught in deception, falsehood, witchcraft, dissension, debauchery, jealousy. Name those things that the Lord sets out. To put it in a nutshell, what is the Lord trying to say here about the leadership of this ministry? He's saying that for this leadership in this ministry, they shall always be above board in their practice and living. Above board. Which means you are beyond reproach by those decaying agents. Sin, the agents of sin. Agents of decay. I would think that that's a very high standard the Lord has set up here. Let me summarize the first segment of this whole thing. The Lord, in other words, is talking about the following. He's saying that for you to be part of the leadership of this ministry, just as you are aware that this ministry is launched, embedded on the foundation of repentance, in other words, this ministry is built on that bedrock of repentance, then you must also be aware as leadership that this ministry is embedded, built and embedded its foundation on the foundation of the cross. And as far as we know, the cross tears the flesh. The cross kills the flesh. The cross yields the spirit. The cross yields the spiritual being, the spirit being, the spirit person. The Lord is saying what then? Let me summarize it for you. Then by joining the leadership of this ministry, the Lord is saying that you have again by default automatically become the image and the stature of Christ Jesus. You see that? So it's a very serious standard. I just wanted us to be clear on that today. I'm going to read a little bit here that we may understand further. Part of the leadership. What does the Bible say? The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, qualifications for elders. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. And he says, qualifications for elders. He says, I'm reading King James, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. You see that now? And Amplified says, for this reason, I left you behind. Did you hear that now? I left you where? Behind. In Crete. That you might set right what was defective and finish what was left undone, and that you might appoint elders and set them over the churches, assemblies, in every city as I directed you. You see the Amplified now. You see the clause that calls you into being. Did you understand that? This is the clause that calls you people into being in the respective places you are seated at. Respective positions you are now holding in the leadership. The purpose was what? To make corrections to the things that were defective. If you look at the bigger picture, the Lord Jesus also left behind the disciples, right? That they may now put in place, rectify that which was not right, and put in place and establish a church leadership, a priesthood, and a congregation, and a leadership over the congregation. That there may now be correction. That which was defective, decaying, not right. In other words, I see that there is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that brings you people into being. All of a sudden picks you and then empowers you that now you may be set over the churches as elders in these churches. When the Bible says elders, it does not necessarily mean physical age. You will be shocked at when the Bible says, if you don't hear it from my servant, you'll hear it from the mouth of babes. You will be shocked at what can come out of young babes when they can come out and say, no, pastor, that is sin. We don't want to do sin. You see that? That is sinful. First, pastor, is it really right for you to tell us to go now and just lie to our parents to give us that money to bring to the Sunday school? You will be shocked at what will come out of the mouth of kids. If you fool around and decide to err. Or you'll be shocked at what will come out of the mouth of the young ones compared to the elderly bishops, the aged bishops, the senior ones. So when he says elders, establishing, in fact the sub-theme here says qualification for elders. Elders can even be young in physical age. But if you look at the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has endowed them with, they are the true wisdom. It is the true wisdom of church elders. Church eldership. You see that? So you need to be very careful with that. That's why if there's any one of you who is younger than the other, that should not be a premise to be undermined. You don't talk because you know what you know in life. It's not about that. It's about how much has the Lord endowed upon you. The sentence, the provision that brings you people as elders in this ministry into being is this one here. He says, from Amplified, he said, for this reason I left you behind in Crete, that you might set right. Did you understand me? It's about correcting. Set right what was defective. Correcting that which was not sitting right, which was not right. In other words, which was not in right standing with the Lord. And finish what was left undone. So there are two tasks there. To correct that which was defective, and then to now combine it with the job of finishing, with what was unfinished, and to finish now that which was undone. Finishing what then? I'm going to quickly show you what the Lord is talking about finishing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says to make correction after correcting that which was defective. Now combine it together with the other and finish what was undone. It sounds to me that what was undone was indeed undone because some part was still defective. Again, let me say this. It sounds to me that what was unfinished in the church was unfinished because one part was still defective, had to be put in order so the finishing can be done. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 to 16, I'm reading so you may see what that finishing was all about. What the instructive of the Lord to finish was all about. You see that? This is what it says, verse 11. I'm reading King James. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you understand the finishing he's talking about here? So now, right away you can see your job description. You see the job description that elected you people. You are the elect. You have been elected to this place now. To this position you have been elected. Now you are the elect of God. But now you see the calling that elected you. He's saying, this is just King James, I've not gone to amplify it yet. And he says, for the perfecting of the saints, there has been disorder in the church, right? You may call it dysfunction in the body of Christ. You may call it malfunction in the leadership, right? Malpractice in the leadership, right? And the Lord is saying here that that malpractice has to be restored first before we can advance the stature of Christ. Think about it this way. Put it this way. You want to build a house. And as you try to build a house, you are raising forth blocks. You are building blocks. And as you build the blocks, you also encounter some defective blocks that were not well baked. Maybe they are porous for one reason or the other. Soft. Maybe they are made from a different kind of rock or soil, if they are bricks. And he's saying, the raising of this house cannot take place until the defective building blocks have been restored. Their integrity of purpose. So now, think about this. You have started building a house with the right standard of blocks, and then you encounter some defective blocks that are not well baked, they are soft, porous, whatever. And you say, you know what? Anyhow, let us just continue building because this is what we got. You will build the house. Continue building. The house will be built, right? But finally, that house will collapse. The integrity of the structure, the integrity of the house will be weak. Why? Because the structures that were set as the house was building were compromised. So by the Lord raising you people into the leadership of this ministry, he's saying, I have empowered you with authority to now go forth into the assembly and put in order that which was defective In other words, rebuild those building bricks that were broken and porous, are half-baked, unbaked. Mix them with water, crush them, and build strong, up-to-standard bricks again. And then continue, after that, then continue building the house of the Lord. You see that now? Said that the house of the Lord, come the winds of this last minute. Come the storms of this day. The storms of homosexuality. The storms of immorality in the church. The storms of sagging trousers in the church. The storms of women showing their breasts in the church. Open chests. Those new designs, fashions, name it, fads. The storms of tight miniskirts and whatever, and trousers. The storms of the gospel of prosperity. The storms of falsehood. Whatever the storms of oppression, persecution. Because the structures that built the house were put in place, rectified if they were defective, strong, established, the house will withstand the storm. That's why in the building of an aircraft, the Boeing, the Airbus companies here, the European Aerospace Company, the Brazilians, when they are building an aircraft, they will not release the aircraft until they have tested the aircraft in the most extreme stormy conditions, in their simulated testing. They are meant to withstand the most violent storm that has never visited the earth. You see that? Others don't release it. All people crush and perish. I see you in that way. I see the Lord launching you, and He's saying that He has given you power. But as you go with that power to restore that which was defective, to bring it in order, and then begin the finishing job, He's saying you too must have been fully restored and finished by the Lord. You see that? You can never be a deliverer until you yourself have been delivered. Did you understand the message now? So you are going down there to do what? If I understand the mission here correctly, the Lord is leading you to go to the assemblies to look for what was it that was defective here. Did you understand? You are the correction squad. So, I expect you to go forth and stand strong against sin. You must. Why would you do that? Because in being part of the leadership of this ministry, one of the most important standards that you must score is that you must have a sound judgment of what is evil and what is righteous. What is wrong, wicked, and what is right and holy. You must be able to distinguish between those two. Otherwise, you cannot be part of the leadership of this ministry. Your election today, you are the elect of God. You have been elected in these offices. Your election today is based on the fact that we presuppose the assumption. There is an assumption that has been set in place that you are of sound judgment. You can judge what is sin against what is right. And hence, correct what is sin, the authority henceforth given to you unto. You see that? And lead the church to what is righteous. That is the only way this ministry can prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. There's no other way. Detect sin, correct sin, move it, establish righteousness. That is why you have been called. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if there's any person here, for example, who is struggling with sexual lust, again, this would be the wrong place to be. Because then you would have to step down be established in righteousness first, which means be restored before you can come forth to preach it. You see that? And the Holy Spirit is willing to restore the church, right? Really, that's the beauty of it all, that He's willing. He has not refused. See that? And so, the standards are very right here. They are very obvious. You know, the places where church was where men meet girls, you know? Or youth church where the youth pastor has many young girls and they're fighting for him. That nonsense does not exist here. Never, ever. Whether the sun dropped from the sky into the ocean and dried up the ocean and swallowed the whole earth, or just a piece of the sun dropped in the ocean and dried all the seas of the earth, that will not happen in this ministry. This is the ministry that towers high the righteousness of the Lord. And so you'd rather be prepared to walk righteous to another level to be in this leadership. I'm even assuming that in our times, this happens to many people, that, you know, let me handle it. You see that? As you have come, ready as leadership. Oh, she's fallen. She's in sin. He's in sin. Oh, how am I going to handle this? Can you bring them to the feet of the prophet? That the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit may incinerate them. Kuteketeza. A winnowing fork in his hand, right? And he burns that chaff with unquenchable fire. Fire that the G4S fire extinguisher or the Nairobi fire extinguisher cannot shut down. Or the New York fire department cannot shut down. Unquenchable fire. Ichome dhambi, imalize dhambi kabisa kabisa, ndio tusiwe kwenye confusion yoyote, tukienda kwenye huduma, tuseme sisi watu wa huduma, wa toba na utakatifu, hata toba hilo hilo, na utakatifu hilo hilo, lionekane kutoka kwenye maisha zetu. Isipokuwa hivyo, tutakuwa wenye dhambi na waongo. Waongo wakuu. The chief liars. If there was any bit of confusion that was in your hearts as you joined the ministry, now it is totally erased. If there was that feeling, I'm feeling towards that young man, I'm feeling he's looking at me, you know, if there was anything like that, now it has been cleared. Yes, it has been cleared that never, ever, and not here. Never, ever, not here. In that way, a strong church will be established in Umoja, a strong church will be established in Nairobi, a strong church, stronger church will be established in Kenya, a stronger and mightier church will be established, body of Christ, across the globe. Otherwise, we'll just be recycling what has been done. When someone reads, how come I seem, when I enter this church, I seem to be reading a story I've read before? Not here. Whether you are young, the standards are same. Send you? Same standards. That righteousness will be upheld. Will be is the word. One way or the other, it will happen here. There is no two way about it. Well, but what does he say? Father Ronin amplified. And he said, to build the body of Christ to full term, right? Full stature. And I like that when he says in the knowledge of Christ. So, you cannot even speak about being part of the leadership of this ministry. Whichever church you subscribe to within this ministry. You know, I don't see the churches. For me, I don't see the churches. I see one big boat, big ship that the Lord set me sail with right into the ocean. That's the one I see. And when it's coming, it is so massive that it pushes water. The water it pushes is as huge as the continent of Africa. Towards where it's going to. So it's coming like a tsunami. And there is a landing. It's landing on the other side as the ministry comes, the boat comes. And there is serious destruction. That's what I see. And in so doing, the mountains are flattened. The tall buildings are flattened. You see that? The valleys are filled. He's carrying all the debris. And he's filling the valleys. I see one big ship, one big boat. And he's coming like a tsunami. Meaning, nobody created by the Lord, nothing created by the Lord can stand his way. You understand? Yeah. So when I look at you people, you must be inducted into the mainstream of the requirements of the Lord. You see that? So he says, for the perfecting, you see that? Yeah. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that's very powerful. I love that part, it touches my heart so mightily. For the work of the ministry, you see that? For the edifying of the body of Christ, edifying means what? To build, building up, you see that? Look at what edifying means. Edifying also means to make look good, you see that? To make look better. Of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, you cannot breed the unity of the faith within the congregations you're sent to, except that this leadership team operate in the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith is so key, which means you have all one vision and mission. It may not be different churches named with differently combined. It's not that. It's all of us have a common understanding that time is over and these are the evil last days. And the Messiah is coming. And because the Messiah is coming and time is over, then now we must relentlessly prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, the King. And in preparing the way, there has to be zero tolerance to sin. Did you understand the message that is launching you people? So I expect you to come to your senior pastor as leadership and say, Pastor, I have a problem here. There is a child in the youth church, in the Sunday school, or whichever the ministry, that child is doing this, or dresses like this. And I've tried to tell the parents, and they seem to be fighting it, to be unwilling. I expect those, not complaints, but those feed. You must feed in. You must feed this way. And so she will one time meet the parents. Say, how are you today? Yes, I want to share something with you. I want you to know that I know it's good to love your children, but at times when you dress them like this, as young as they are, you probably attach them to a spirit that's immoral. Right from when they are young, you attach them to the spirit of immorality. And no wonder things go bad later, and you wonder what could have happened wrong. But we already tagged them with that. And so, the enemy claimed them. They grew up, they learned only to dress like that. You see? So I advise you that, because in this church, we always strive. I'm striving to make all of you enter the kingdom of God. To have all of you please, you have your lives please Christ, be pleasing to the Lord. When you live your lives. So please bear with me, but I just want to request that if you can change the dressing of the girl, because the Sunday school teacher says the rest are dressing right, except this child, and they have brought it to your attention severally, and no action has taken place. If it's no money for buying, we're able to give you some money to buy clothes for the child, you know? You see that? Now you say things like that. To rectify that which was defective. You understand?
Yes.
After which we can now move on. But now, what does Amplified say? It says, I'm beginning verse 10. This part is very powerful. He who descended, again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 on. For Amplified, I want to begin verse 10. He who descended is the very same as he who also has ascended high above all the heavens. If I were you, I would underline above all the heavens, because that's shocking. So there's another place above the heavens, because you're striving to go to heaven. You see that? Kumbe, there is above the heaven. And ascended high above all the heavens, and he, his presence, might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. So you know he's seated on the right hand side of the Father. But it's incredible to me that he sits higher above all the heavens. And yet you are striving to enter into heaven, not to go above it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You see that now. There's a lot of checks and balance here. There's a lot that's supposed to compel you, propel you higher here. It raises the question, will all those who go to heaven be able to see Christ? There you go. Isn't that tricky? Yeah. Will all those who go to heaven, enter heaven, be able to see Christ? I'm just wondering. It's right here. Because it says, he is elevated, raised above all heavens. He's above. That above all heavens also means that the reigns in heaven, the authority thereof, has been handed over to him. Did you understand that?
Yes.
That's why all the heavenly hosts, they worship he that sits on the throne. He who sits on the throne and the Lamb. You see that? But just be careful, precious. Verse 11 says, and his gifts were varied. Zawadi zake mikononi mwake zilikuwa zaina tafauti tafauti. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, Holy Spirit inspired preachers and revealers, expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Did you understand? So varied gifts he gave. Verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. Did you understand me?
Yes.
Which kind of equipping? Full equipping. Full. You must be able in the execution of your office, in the execution of your duties, you must be able to give them full, to equip them fully, give them full, all the equipment they need, full, that they may not say, the pastor was there, but the one who was in charge of me did not alert me. Is it about this? Full. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministry towards building up Christ's body, the body of Christ, the church, that it might develop. Did you hear now where you are? Develop. There is growth and development. I said, that it may develop. Where we are now, we are talking about the development of this church. The putting together of structures now. You understand?
Yes.
One arm, another eye, developing now. Listen to what it says. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood and completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. That's very powerful. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. You see that? So you have a big task. That's what I see. Because he said, to rectify that which was defective and to finish. That is not the finishing. This is big. Anyhow, let's go back to you in another angle, in another light. Verse 6 of Titus chapter 1. Again, he says, qualifications for the elders. In Amplified verse 5, he said, for this reason, I left you behind in Crete, that you might set right what was defective and finish what was left undone, and that you might appoint elders and set them over the churches, assemblies in every city as I directed you. You see that? So you see the clause that brought you in. But look at the standard he sets for you now. As elders, as leaders in this ministry. He says, verse 6. Again, I'm reading one version after the other. King James says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Did you hear that standard?
Yes.
I'm going to amplify to see what he says. Verse 6. For these elders should be men who are of unquestionable integrity and are irreproachable, the husband of but one wife, whose children are well trained and are believers, not open to accusation of being loose in morals and conduct, or unruly and disorderly. Can we write some few points here? You know what the Lord expects of you, then I'll explain to you this. He says, for these elders, for these leaders, you are the ones, should be persons. Men is men and women. You see that? Persons who are, number one, unquestionable integrity. That's number one. That's the first standard that the Lord is raising here. Unquestionable integrity. That's number one. Number two, you must be irreproachable. Number three, when he says a husband or wife, he says, in case you are married, your marriage must be in right standing with the Lord. Whether you are a woman leader or a male leader. You see, the female or male. And he says, again I said, irreproachable, that's number two, right? And then, in right standing, if you are not married, you are still in right standing. Let me explain to you how it comes, the next one. He says, not accusable. Totally unaccusable. Nobody can rise up and just say, yesterday I saw him there. Yesterday I saw him here. This week I saw him where. Last week I saw him where. The first standard is unquestionable integrity. Unquestionable integrity. The second is irreproachable. Third one, if married, marriage in right standing with the Lord. In other words, holy matrimony. And then, the next says, well-trained. Well-trained by who? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the trainer. Our believers must be believers. Because you can fool around and you find that non-believers sneak into the leadership. And they're doing things. And they're working very, very well in arranging things. Doing physical things, they're very good. Arrange for me these spring chairs here. Raise for me this tent. Clean this church. Do what? But now, believers, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Must be born again. And he says, moral. Because here he says, not open to accusation of being loose in morals. So must be moral. Morality is key. good conduct, ruly, right? Because unruly is the bad one, right? So must be ruly, right? Ruleable, right? And must be orderly, or never be disorderly. As God's stewards, must be blameless, that we say. Blameless. Not self-willed. Not arrogant. Not presumptuous. You see that? Not self-willed. Not arrogant. Not presumptuous. Must not be quick-tempered. Must not be given to drink. Must not be pugnacious. I'll explain what that means. Must not be pugnacious. Meaning, must not be brawling. Must not be violent. Must not be greedy. He says grasping and greedy, but I chose greedy. For filthy financial gain. So have you seen the must nots? But must be the following. Hospitable. You see that? So number one would be hospitable. Loving. Number two. Friendly to believers, he says here. And he says there, friendly to strangers, friendly to foreigners. Must be a lover of goodness, lover of good people, lover of good things. Lover of goodness, lover of good people, lover of good things. And you know, when the Lord says good, he normally means holy. Did you understand me right now? Holy. Standard. Must be sober, which means not drunk, right? Another point, must be sober-minded. You know, some people may be sober, but they are not sober-minded. Must be sensible. So the key word is hospitable, loving, friendly to believers, friendly to strangers, friendly to foreigners, lover of goodness, in brackets, holiness, lover of good people, in brackets, holy people, lover of good things, in brackets, holy things, sober-minded, must be an elder, a leader. A leader must be sensible. A leader in this ministry must be discreet. A leader in this ministry must be upright. A leader in this ministry must be fair. A leader in this ministry must be fair-minded. A leader in this ministry must be a devout person, devout, committed, totally committed person, dedicated person, a devout person. A leader in this ministry must be religiously correct. You see that? You cannot be in any wrong doctrine. You see that? A leader in this ministry must also be temperate. A leader in this ministry must keep himself in hand. Isn't that amazing? You must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God. You see that? As you teach it. You see that? Okay, let's do two things there. I said you must hold fast to what? The sure and trustworthy word of God. Must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as you were taught. Another point. Must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as you teach it. You see that? As you were taught and as you teach it. Which means you teach it, you live it. You see that? You were taught, well, yes, that's all right. Now you are teaching, yes. But do you then live it? Must give stimulating instruction. Did you understand the meaning of that? Must stir up the church to do exploits, right? Must give stimulating instruction. This is what it means. You must be a leader who encourages others to work with him. You see that? Which means you're not sitting back and leading, telling them do this. You work with them as you lead them. You see that? That's what he's talking about. Encouraging them as they work. Encouraging the youth church to take up righteousness. Encouraging the Sunday school children to recite the scriptures that bestow righteousness. The scriptures that define the righteousness of our God. You see that? So you're encouraging them. You know, say, well, you can say it, you know, say it off head, you know. You see, you say it so well, you know. You see that, huh? Encouraging them. And they'll say more and more. And encouraging. You see that? And he says, you must hold first to a wholesome doctrine. We mean sound doctrine, which I've mentioned already. And you must refute and convict those who contradict and oppose sound doctrine. You see that? Which means refute and convict, rebuke. You see that? And he says, you must show the wayward their error. You must show the fallen their mistakes. You see that? So it means you are really a leader. You are leading them. That's why I said the judgment you uphold is very key. It's surely based on judgment. Are you able to have sound judgment? Know what is evil and what is right. What is wicked and what is righteous. And then shun the other and lead everybody to the righteous. But what amazes me here, he says, must refute and convict. Which means part of your calling in the leadership of this ministry is to ensure that you must rebuke sin. You cannot paint sin with white paint in this ministry. You must rebuke, convict, and then show the wayward their errors. Show the fallen that these are your mistakes. So for that matter, we head this way. You see that? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. How would they repent without knowing what their mistakes are? Must never be disorderly, never be unruly, never be idle, never be vain, never be empty, and never be a misleading talker, never be a self-deceiver, never be deceiver of others. Those are two different things. So you see the standards of the Lord? In these standards, all you can see very clearly the Lord trying to articulate here is the unchanging righteousness of the Lord. The unchangeable righteousness of the Lord that you now uphold, right? From this point on. Unchanging, unchangeable. You see that? You cannot even change it. So, whatever you are, cadre, you are a widow in this leadership, you are not exempt from these rules. You see that? Whether you are young, senior, mature, you are not exempt of these rules. Again, now, the way you run your different ministries, I want to finish with that. The first thing you must do as leaders in this ministry is that you must respect and honor the senior pastor. That's very key, central fact. The other thing that I want to mention here is regarding evangelism, like I said. Evangelism is very, very, very key in church. If you join the leadership of this ministry, you are all charged with the responsibility of evangelism. You see that? Generally, you are all charged with the role of evangelizing this mighty message of the return of the righteousness of the Lord into the church, of the return to holiness, and of the coming of the Messiah, the message of repentance.